In encouraging the Christians to run the race that is set before them, the Hebrew writer has instructed them in chapter 12 and verse 1 to lay aside the things that would hinder them and to run with endurance. In verses 2 through 3, he reminded the readers to keep their focus on Jesus. In 4 through 11, to remember the value of the Lord's chastening. And then in 12 and 13, to run with style. And then in verse 14, to pursue peace and holiness. And then in verses 15 through 17 last week, we noticed that they were to diligently look lest one fall short of God's grace, stumble because of bitterness, or become a fornicator or profane person. He goes on with more encouragement now that's provided in the last half of chapter 12, with a reminder of the mountain to which they have come, and also with a warning to heed him who speaks. Now the question is, do we appreciate the significance of the mountain to which we have come? And are we heeding or listening to the voice that's coming from the mountain? Now, how we answer these types of questions can reveal how well we are running the race of faith, our race of faith. So with this text that we're looking at today, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29, we're going to notice verses 18 through 24, he talks about the mountain to which we have come. In verses 18 through 21, it's not Mount Sinai that he has reference to. The mountain described first is Mount Sinai, to which Israel came to following their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, a reference back to Exodus 19. But this seems more like a volcano, as in reference to Exodus 20 and verse 18 and Deuteronomy 4 and verse 11. It frightened people, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Moses is even said to have been afraid of it in Deuteronomy 9 and verse 19. But we've not come to such a mountain that forces us to stand afar off, as the text says. But in verses 22 through 24, we see that this mountain is Mount Zion. The mountain to which we have come is one that encourages us to draw near to it. We have come to Mount Zion. Zion was originally the stronghold of the Jebusites in Jerusalem that became the city of David, 2 Samuel 5, 1 Chronicles 11. And the term Zion can be used to refer to the city of Jerusalem, Psalm 48, Psalm 84, and Amos 6. But the heavenly Jerusalem where God dwells can also be referred to as Zion in Isaiah 28, Psalm 2, and Revelation 14. So in coming to Mount Zion, we have also come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And the Hebrew writer points out in chapter 11 that this is the heavenly city that was longed for by Abraham and the others. The heavenly city that was longed for by Christians today, Hebrews 13 and verse 14. And the heavenly city that we will one day experience, Revelation 3, Revelation 21, and Revelation 22. B.W. Johnson, in his commentary, or New People's, the People's New Testament, says this heavenly city is where our Lord dwells and is our eternal home. In coming to Christ, we have come into the covenant which gives us the right to a place in that city. He goes on, the Hebrew writer does, and describes it as an innumerable company of angels, the heavenly servants of God, of which there is a great number, according to Revelation 5 and verse 11. In Hebrews 1 and verse 14, they're described as those who also minister to those who will inherit salvation. The general assembly and church of the firstborn registered in heaven, the Hebrew writer says. The church in the universal sense is made up of all those who are saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. They are the firstborn ones who enjoy special privileges of their birthright. And their names are in the book of life, according to Philippians 4 and verse 3 and Revelation 3 and verse 5. He goes on to say that God is the judge of all. The judge of all the earth, Genesis 18 and verse 25. He is the one to whom we must give heed. We will have to answer to God. as we're going to note shortly. But this is also described as the spirits of just men made perfect, those who died in faith, such as the Old Testament saints from Hebrews chapter 11. And we might note here that they had not been made perfect apart from us, but now they are made perfect. They were redeemed by the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9 and verse 15. But also we see that Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. As we've seen, he is the mediator of a better covenant, Hebrews 8 and verse 6. And this new covenant is by means of his death, Hebrews 9 and verse 15. It's also the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Hebrews 11 and verse 4 tells us that Abel still speaks through the example of his faith. And chapter 10 of Hebrews tells us that in comparison, the blood of Jesus speaks volumes. So, in coming to Christ, being redeemed by the blood of the new covenant, we have drawn near to this wonderful mountain, Mount Zion. It is a place that offers many wonderful blessings, both now and with the promise for the future. But the author's purpose is not just to review the blessings that we have in coming to this mountain. He also has a warning for us. In Hebrews 12, in first part of verse 25, he says, See that you do not refuse him who speaks. To appreciate the need for this warning, let's consider what he says beginning in verse 25 through verse 29. Why should we heed the voice from the mountain? Well, verse 25, he tells us those at Mount Sinai did not escape. And we've seen that from our study, that every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, Hebrews 2 and verse 2. Hebrews 3 and verse 17, we see that those who sinned, their corpses fell in the wilderness. And we noticed in Hebrews 10 and verse 28 that those who rejected Moses' law died without mercy. So the argument is again one of comparison, from the lesser to the greater. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? That's what we're told by the Hebrew writer in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He also tells us in chapter 10, verses 26 through 31, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy? Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." So we need to understand that in Christ we enjoy so much more. How dare we refuse to listen to his words, to listen to him who speaks, not from Mount Sinai, but from Mount Zion. In other words, from heaven itself. The one who speaks, verses 26 and 27 tells us that the one who speaks will shake heaven and earth. If you'll remember back in Exodus 19 and verse 18, when God was on Mount Sinai and the children of Israel were gathered around the base of it, when he spoke, the mountain shook and the earth trembled. The day is coming when both heaven and earth will be shaken, even removed. That's promised in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, which refers to the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made. So do we dare refuse to heed or to listen to him who speaks with so much impact? And then in verse 28, he tells us that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. While everything made will one day perish, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Note the present tense, are receiving. And so we are in the process of receiving this kingdom. It is a kingdom that is both present and future. In one sense, we are now in the kingdom, Colossians 1 verse 13, Revelation 1 and verse 9. And in another sense, we have yet to enter the kingdom, 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. It is a kingdom that is inaugurated when Christ, wasn't excuse me, it was inaugurated when Jesus ascended to sit at God's right hand on David's throne, Acts 2. To be culminated when Jesus returns to deliver the kingdom of God to him, 1 Corinthians 15. And so it is a kingdom. As Daniel says in his interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2, that will never be destroyed. It shall stand forever, of which, he said, there will be no end. Now, receiving such a kingdom, again, do we dare refuse to heed him who speaks? The one who speaks, verse 29 tells us, is a consuming fire. We've read of a fiery indignation that will devour the adversaries, Hebrews 10, verse 27. And we've seen that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10, verse 31. And even Jesus taught us to fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Matthew 10 and verse 28. Again, do we even dare to refuse to listen to such an awesome God? Indeed, God has spoken. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we're told there by the inspired writer that he has spoken through his Son in these last days. He has spoken from Mount Zion, that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, to which we have come through an obedient faith in Jesus, Hebrews 5 and verse 9, and where we can enjoy the fellowship of angels, the redeemed in heaven and on earth, and of Jesus and God himself, where we can enjoy a better and new covenant based upon the better sacrifice of the blood of Jesus. But with such wonderful blessings come the responsibility of giving heed, of listening, not to neglect our great salvation, not to refuse him who speaks from the heavenly mountain. In verse 28 of our text, the second half of verse 28, the Hebrew writer gives us a goal that I think should be impressed upon all of us. He said, "Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." I believe with God's grace to help us, Hebrews 4, we can serve him in a manner that is well pleasing to him. So here's the question to end the lesson. Are you heeding? Are you listening to the voice from the mountain? Are you listening to Jesus? You may like to discuss this lesson further with me, and that would be fine. I would be willing to sit down and discuss with you anything that we have talked about from these lessons. If you'd like to talk with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, or you can go back to the church's website, churchateastside.com, and listen to this lesson again or any other sermons that you may find there. You can read articles. You can find out more about who we are. Beginning this morning, we will have a gospel meeting. We have a man coming from Beaver Creek, Ohio to speak to us. Beginning this morning at 9 a.m., we'll have our regular times of services today, 9, 10, and 5. And then Monday through Friday, we will have 7 o'clock each night. So we'll assemble each night. You're more than welcome to come and visit with us and see what the word is that's being preached. And if you have any questions, we would be glad to sit down and discuss with you anything that you hear taught, and anything that you see that you'd like to question us about what we do. Again, thank you for being with me today.